The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week is Parashas Pinchas. I want to speak this evening on a subject which I've spoken on a number of times before, but I feel is something that we all will certainly learn from. But I feel it's something which is of very important interest to the high school students, and that's on what is in this week's parsha. It's in Bamidbar Chof Zayin, Pasuk Tesvov, where Moshe approaches Hashem that he should appoint a leader for Klal Yisrael, a successor for himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu selects for this very, very great task, Yeshua. Starts by saying, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem lemor. Moshe said to Hashem to say, Yivkei Hashem leke arucha is lechol bosa ish ala edom. He said, the Almighty, the God of all spirits and of all flesh, should appoint a man who will lead this congregation. Now this is speaking immediately after Hashem told Moshe to go up on Har Avorim, Ureas Horus Hashem Asatlim de Yisrael, and take a look at the land which I have given to Israel, Eretz Israel. But Yisrael saw it, you shall see it, but you shall not go into that land. But you will die here in the desert. So, now that Hashem told Moshe that he's going to die, and it's going to come time soon for this, so Moshe approached Hashem and said, Yivkei, appoint a successor for me. Now the first thing that we learn from here is Rashi brings Kivin Shishoma Meshi Shoma Leam Mokum. No, excuse me. Lehidia Shivchon Shal Tzadikim. This is to tell us the great praise of our righteous people. When it comes time for them to leave this world, they set aside their own needs, or the needs of the family, and they set their minds to the needs of the tzibur, to the needs of the community, of the nation. Now from here we hear the great cognizance to responsibility that the leaders of Klal Yisrael have, and that is a prerequisite for the quality of leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that the time is coming for him to die. So then generally Moshe should have said, well, if that's the case, I got to start putting my things in order. And he should start thinking about himself and perhaps his immediate family. No, he set that all aside. And he said, if that's the case, that he's going to die, so then there's some business that he has to take care of immediately. Who will be his mamala mokum? Who will be his successor? Who's going to lead Klal Yisrael? Like he says, they should not be leisi adas Hashem katzein asher ein lehem reya. They should be like sheep that have no shepherd. This is the first prerequisite to being a leader. Responsibility. Now we find that Moshe had this trait very strongly. For example, it states in Parshas Shemos when Moshe grew up in the palace of Pare, in Shmos Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, "Vayi bayomim mahem, vayigdal Moshe, vayitza el Echov." Moshe grew up, and Moshe was a prince. He was a prince in the house of Pare. Vayitza el Echov, vayal b'sivlosem. And he went out to his brethren, and he saw their burdens. And then vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'echov. And he saw an Egyptian hit him, striking a Hebrew. So Rashi brings vayar b'sivlosem. Why did he go out to see what's happening? He could have sat in the palace and he could have minded his own business. He was not enslaved and he was not burdened and he was not being forced to work and finished. But instead, he had decided to make himself interested in what's happening to the people, to his people, and to be meitzar aleihem, and to suffer with them, and to see if there's anything that he could do. So here we see that he had carried a responsibility for the people. When we speak of carrying responsibility, it doesn't necessarily mean a formal responsibility. He was not appointed leader of a Klal Yisrael at that time. And that's when he saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew. He could have walked on his merry way and forget about it. Except he felt responsible, so he intervened and he hit the Egyptian and he killed him, and because of this he had to flee from Egypt, and he had to go to the house of Yisro in Egypt. In another instance we find that when he did go to the house of Yisro, and Hashem came to Moshe at the burning bush, wanted to approach him, to offer him the formal leadership of Klal Yisrael. He should go back and become the leader, become the king, and go to Pare on their behalf. The Midrash says that first he tested him. Hashem tested Moshe to make sure that he would be a good leader. And it states in the Midrash Rabbah, Parshas Mais, Parshas Beis, Os Aleph, Os Beis, it states Ve'af Meisha Lebochan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ele Betzon, that Meisha he tested with sheep. Omru Rabbi Seinu Kishoye Meisha Rabbeinu Reya Tzeinu Shil Yisrei Bamidbo. When Moshe was leading the sheep of Yisro, he became a shepherd for him in the desert. Borach Imenu Gdi HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that a goat should run away. Verotz Achrov, and Moshe ran after it at Shegi Lachaseach, until he came Lachaseach, until he came to a certain place which was called Chaseach. Given Shegi Lachaseach Nizdan Lebrich Shalmai, when they came to that place, there was a little brook of water. Omar Hagdili stays, and the Gdi stopped running, and the Gdi drank the water. Given Shegi Moshe Etzle, when Moshe caught up with it, he says, I didn't know that you were running because you were thirsty. And now you must be very tired. So he put the goat on his shoulders and he started to carry him back. If this is the compassion, if this is the responsibility you have toward sheep, then I know for certain that you will have compassion and responsibility towards my people. And therefore, it states, Moshe was a shepherd, and he saw the bush was burning. Kodesh Baruch Hu had appeared to him to give him this position. So it states that he first tested him with his sheep. We find further that Moshe was carrying such responsibility for the people. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened, and this was a number of times, he threatened to destroy the nation because of their various sins. And he said to Moshe, I'll make a new nation from you. Moshe said that if you will not save this nation, Mecheni no misifrecho, then take my name out of the Sefer Torah. I want no part. He was always prepared even to give his life for the tzibur. Finally, we see that in Parshas Veschanan, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chof Beis, Moshe tells the people, "Anechi meis ba'oretz hazeis eineni ever esayade," that I am going to die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan River. So the sages ask, Rashi brings, that if I'm going to die in this land, so certainly I'm not going to cross the Jordan River. So why does he have to tell us this? I'm going to die in this land. I'm not going to cross the river. So Rashi says, even my bones will not cross this river. Not only will I die in this land, but my remains also will not cross the river into Eretz Yisrael. I will be buried outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, we can ask a question. Because of the hate of the sin of the rock, where they were supposed to Meishanar and they were supposed to speak to the rock, he struck the rock. That whole episode that we learned just recently. So therefore, Moshe was not Zohar, he did not merit to go into Eretz Yisrael. Alright, fine. But let him at least be buried there. Why was it that he was buried outside of Eretz Yisrael? We see Yaakov, his remains were taken into, he died in Egypt and his remains were taken to Eretz Yisrael. We see Yosef, his remains were, he died in Egypt and his remains were taken into Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash tells us, why did the remains of Moshe, why were they buried in the desert? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that at the time of the Tchiyas HaMeisim, when those who died in the desert will again be brought to life, the resurrection of the dead, who will bring them into Eretz Yisrael? So he said, Moshe, you led them during your lifetime, you will have to lead them also at the time of the resurrection. Therefore you shall remain in the desert, so you will be able to lead them into Eretz Yisrael then. So we see, that's the first thing, that the quality of a leader means responsibility. It means that a person has to be prepared to sacrifice his own needs for the needs of the tzibur, of the nation, of the community, or whatever particular charge that he has. This is the first quality of true leadership. I mentioned when I speak on this subject that when I was in the Talzi Yeshiva, this was a quality that the Rosh Yeshivas emphasized very, very much, but in their own way of life. When they came to America, and this was a quality that they had learned from Europe, when they came to America and they had to rebuild the yeshiva was destroyed. Actually, the yeshiva in the city of Lithuania were destroyed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, on the 20th of Tammuz. The 20th of Tammuz is tomorrow night and Friday. And when they came to rebuild the yeshiva, they set everything else aside. everything else became secondary. There was nothing as important as to rebuilding the yeshiva and to bring Torah to America. The Rosh Yeshiva, there were two Rosh Yeshivas that came to America, Rebbe Meir Bloch, that was the son of the Telzerov, and his brother was the last Telzerov in Lithuania. And then there was Rebbe Meir's brother, Nala Mordechai Katz, Zichayna Lebrocha. And the Rebbe Meir always, he placed first and foremost his responsibility to the Tzibur. Many stories are told over about this. To mention one or two, he had not known what happened to his family. They left Hells before the Nazis invaded. At that time, the plan was to try to get visas in America to bring everyone over, to bring everyone, all the yeshiva bochrim over. And then when they got to America, by that time the Nazis had invaded. But he had not known what happened to his family. And then finally one day he receives a telegram. And he knew that in the telegram would state news of the family. And he received it just before he was speaking, before a gathering, a meeting that had to do with building the yeshiva, rebuilding the yeshiva. And he was fainting from news, for news of what happened to his family. And he tells over the story, he used to tell over the story where he refused to open the telegram until after the meeting. Because if it would be bad news, then he would not be able to address that meeting. And that meeting was very important. Another story, this I remember because I was there, when he died, this was in 1955, it was shortly before the yeshiva was having its annual banquet. In America, the yeshivas make, well, all the institutions usually make annual banquets. And these are some of the most important fundraisers for the institution. And they thought of postponing the banquet, canceling it. And then, as they started to, his relatives, his family started to read through his will what he left, he wrote there that under no circumstances does he want that his death or his shiva, his mourning, in any way disrupt any function of the yeshiva. This under no circumstances. So they had to go ahead with the banquet. So that's in regards to achrayis hatzibur, responsibility. Now go to another point. Moshe said like this, Vayidaber Moshe l'Hashem lemor. Moshe said to Hashem lemor, to say. What does it mean to say? Many times it says Hashem said to Moshe lemor, to say to the people. But here Moshe is speaking to Hashem. So what does it mean? Vayidaber Moshe l'Hashem lemor. Moshe said to Hashem to say. So Rashi says, Omalei, hashiveni matom emanelem parnesim lav. Moshe was demanding an answer. Moshe said to Hashem, appoint a leader and lemor, and answer me if you're going to do this or not. The Medrash comes and says that yifkod Hashem, appoint. Appoint is yifkod loshen sivui. How does Moshe speak to Hashem like that? He's commanding Hashem, appoint a leader, appoint a successor. So the Medrash says, "Kol mi shemavakeish tzorkei tzibur bo bizreya." When you come and you ask something for yourself, you have to come like a servant comes before a king. It's like when in Parshas Vayeschanan that Moshe asked if he would be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. He came with all types of tefillas, with taknunim, with appeals, properly. But when you come to ask for the tzibur, for the nation, there you can come with a very strong hand. You can demand. You ask for yourself, you have to ask. When you ask for the people, then you have a right to demand. And that's what Moshe was doing. He told Hashem, Yifkod, appoint. You must appoint. Can't leave them like sheep without a shepherd. And Lemor, and you must answer me and let me know if you're going to do it or not. I want to know. From here we see a second important point. The Godel Milas Hatzibur. That how great it is, how important it is, and the difference between one working for himself or one working for the people. In Mesechta Ovis, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, it states, Kola Eiski Min Hatzibur, whoever work on behalf of the people, Ya Eiski Min Mohem L'Shem Shemayim. So then he should do it L'Shem Shemayim, where it should be for their sake and for the sake of Hashem. And then Zchus Aveso Misayoso. Then you will have Hatzlocha, you will succeed, because you will have the Zchus of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. The Maral explains there's a difference between an individual and a tzibur. The Gemara says, Ein Hatzibur Meis. Individuals die. Individuals are born and individuals die. But the tzibur never dies. The tzibur, the nation, especially in particular Klal Yisrael, there is no end to them. They're like one unit. So if a person works on behalf of himself, if a person comes in his own schus, he has no direct link with Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. They lived generations and generations ago. But if a person is part of the tzibur, and the nation is one unit, and the nation has never died, then they have a direct link with Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, with the others. So if you do something in your own right, you don't necessarily have the schus of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. If you do something for the tzibur, and it's l'shem shemayim, then you have the schus of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So that's why it states, kol ha'eskim im ha'tzibur, ye'eskim imahem l'shem shemayim, and then schus ha'veisa misayosom. The further we see that when Hashem said, told him, Vayim Hashem al Meisha kach lecho es Yeshua binun, take for yourself Yeshua. Yeshua should be the one who will be your successor. So Rashi says as follows. Kachnu bidvorim, take him with words, Ashrecha, how fortunate you are, Shizochiso, that you have merited Lahanik Bonav Shalmokam, to lead the children of Hashem. What's bothering Rashi? Rashi, whenever it states, I'm a person, kach, take. Rashi explains, Rashi has a problem there, because take means to take. So when it says on a person, you shall take him, this would mean you lift him up and carry him. And that can't be what it means here. So therefore Rashi always explains, kach no bedvorim, take him with words. How do you take him with words? If you inspire someone, if you motivate someone, and you cause him to go with your words, that's what it means, take him with your words. So Hashem told Moshe, you want a successor, it'll be Yeshua. Take him, motivate him with your words. What words should I tell him? So Hashem said, tell him how fortunate he is to become the leader of Klal Yisrael. Now maybe one would say, you're not so fortunate. See, who needs all of that sort of? This, we're not only speaking, this is not only by the Medrash brings that Hashem showed Moshe who will be his successor and all of the successors till the end of days, which means every leader, see, is they're all united together. But and who says it's such a great deal to be a leader? Meshe Yishus used to say, "Od miatus koluni," that they're going to stone me. It's not such an easy job. It's a lot of tzoras. And this is certainly if you're a king of the whole nation, but this goes on any leader in the community, any rov. See? So it could be Yeshua wasn't so keen on the job. So Hashem said, tell him this. Tell him that how Ashrecho Shizochisa Lahanik Bonav Shalmokum, how fortunate you are that you're able to be a leader, not merely of people, but of Bonav Shalmokum, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And then later on it states, Vayikach es Yeshua, he took Yeshua, again, Lokche bedvorim. See, Rashi again says he took him with words, Vahidia manskar panase Yisrael leilam habo. He told them that even though it's not such a good job in this world, because there's plenty of problems, but he showed him the great reward that a leader has in the next world. This is very important. The attitude. When a person goes into working with the community, the attitude he must have. Because it's not an easy job. And if he has an attitude that I'm looking for a soft job, then he's in the wrong business. See? If he has an attitude I'm looking to make money, again he's in the wrong business. There could be ways to make money, more money and easier. A lot of headaches. And he won't be successful. But if he has the attitude that there can be no greater excuse to be a leader of Bonim Shalmokim, of the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays the most in the next world because you took care of my children, then he'll be successful. See? Then he has the right attitude. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Don't merely tell him, look, they've chosen you to take over. Yeshua might say, no, thank you. See? He says, kach, take him. Make him. Run for the position. Right? So Moshe said, what should I tell him? He says, tell him this. See? Tell him, Ashrecho. You have the single privilege to be a leader of Bonim Shalmokim, of the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay for that in the next world. Rebbe Yemer tells the Rosh Yeshiva, used to say, he says there's some people that used to have the attitude, let's say they were great Talmidei Chachomim, and there were others that were ignorant. You used to have the attitude, look, why do I have to bother with them? Okay. I won't bother with them. No, that's entirely a wrong attitude. There were others, he would say, that they would say, no, I have to bother with them because it's a mitzvah. See? It's a mitzvah to bring everyone close. Be makarav kol odom. So I have to bother with them. So even though really I shouldn't. Because they're amaratzim, they're ignorant people. What do they know? And I'm a great Talmud Chacham. Where I come from, great Yichus. These people, who are they? But it's a mitzvah. He says that also is a poison attitude. And if these are the attitudes of those that are in the Tzoche Tzibor, they will not succeed. But the attitude has to be, you have an opportunity to do something for another Jew. Ashrecho. Run to it. Right? How fortunate you are. Because you're talking about Bonim Shalmokim, the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would happen, right, if you had an opportunity to help a son of a king? Right? Yeah, let's say you had an opportunity to help a person who's on the boundary. Here's a person down and out. All right. You'll say, look, why should I waste my time? But the person, you had an opportunity to help the king's son. You would run for the opportunity. Right? He says, that's how a person has to go to help other Jews. Because the bonim shel mokom, they are the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have the opportunity to do something for them. Ashrecho. How fortunate you are. You can imagine what the reward will be in the next world. So from here we learn the Milas HaTzibur, what it means to work with the Tzibur. Now we'll go to another point. When the person becomes the leader, what further qualities must he have? So Moshe asked like this. He said, Asher yetze lifnehem, v'asher yove lifnehem. Asher yetzi'em, v'asher yivi'em. Someone who will go out in front of them, and he will come in front of them. Someone who will take them out and will bring them in. What is he asking for? So he says as follows. Rashi says, Leke derech malchei ha'umos. He says, I don't want a successor that's going to be like the kings of the nations. Sheyeshvim bebateihem u'mishalchin es chayileisehem lemilchoma. That they sit in their palaces and they send their people out to war. They send their armies out to war. Elekemesho asisi ani. But like I myself did. Shenilchamti b'sichayim v'og. That I went to war in front of the armies, and I went to fight the giants of Sichon and Og. Shneemar al tira eisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't be afraid when you go fight them. Now here he's bringing a very important point. You know, the leaders of the world, they sit in their capitals and they make decisions that will affect the lives of hundreds of thousands of their people, but will not affect them. This was the big storm and the big protest during the years of Vietnam. Vietnam was a living hell. There's almost no one that went to fight in Vietnam from America that came back unscathed. Many never came back. Many came back cripples. But the others came back psychological wrecks. And they didn't like the idea that you have the president and the vice president, and you have the senators and the congressmen, and they're sitting, they're sitting amongst beautiful surroundings and luxuries, and they're sending us to the jungles to fight. And they couldn't even see the reasons for the war. Yeah, there were reasons, there were political reasons. And there was great storms and protests. These were university age young men, and these were some of the greatest protests that America has ever seen. And perhaps, and this is not only America, this is all over. This is with every country. And perhaps things would be different if when a president and a vice president and the congressman and the senator, when they vote to go to war, that they have to put on the uniforms and go to the jungles together with the people. I wouldn't say perhaps, I would say for sure things would be different. You wouldn't find so many wars. But what would you say? Well, the president can't go to war, the vice president can't go, the senators can't go. Moshe said, these leaders I don't want. That's not for my people. I want a leader like I was. When I sent my nation to war, I went first. I took them, I went out in front of them, and I brought them back. So nobody could say that, good, you're sending the boys out to war, and meanwhile you stay at home. This is the kind of leader that I want. And this is unique in the world, this kind of leader. And then Rashi says further, he says, and Yeshua learned from this, because in Yeshua it states, Yeshua was not only was he a king, he was a general. And it states when they saw someone in the camp and there was a threat to the camp, Yeshua didn't send someone to go find out what's happening. Yeshua went. And this was with David. As it states, Ki hu yotzei ubo lifneihem, yetzei berosh v'nichnas berosh. David never sent the armies out unless he went first. And this always was the way of Klal Yisrael. And that's what Moshe wanted. The once mentioned whenever I say this, I recall the Six-Day War. In the Six-Day War, I recall that we were listening to it minute by minute what was going on. And the commentators of the world were all saying that amongst the casualties, there was an extremely high proportion of high-ranking soldiers, generals and colonels and majors, that you will not find in other wars. And the reason is because of this, that by other armies, your high-ranking soldiers, they stay behind, your generals and your colonels, and the others go first. By the Israeli armies, they were first. Now this is what is known as Malchus. This they learned from Yehuda. It states Yehuda was the Melech. And where was Yehuda's campsite? Yehuda's campsite was in the east. And Yehuda's campsite was in the east because that's considered the front, because that's the beginning of the sun. That's the beginning where the sun rises. It's the beginning of the world. And it states V'nosu Yehuda Berishayna. When the camp moves, Yehuda, the camp of Yehuda moves first. We don't say we're the kings, let the foot soldiers go first. They went first. And Yehuda had a son called Peretz. Peretz through him came the Malchus. And he was called Peretz because Paratzto. He broke through first. So this is what Moshe wanted. From here we learn something else also, not only in the instance we said, right, that if the president and the vice president and all the senators would have to go to war first every time they signed the declaration of war, we could guarantee there would be much less war, many less wars in the world. But this is the underlying principle of leadership, where the leaders must lead, the leaders must not follow. Actually, we find that this was an underlying shortcoming in Shaul HaMelech, in King Saul. Because Shaul was sent to fight against Amalek. He also went first. When there was a war, he went out. See? The kings were generals by Israel. He went to fight against Amalek. And he was told to destroy all of Amalek. And when he came back, Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel and he said, Mo'asti, I have rejected Shaul from being the king. And Shmuel said, why? He said, because he didn't listen to me. I told him to destroy all of Amalek and he didn't do that. And it had enormous ramifications. From here, there came Haman, and Haman almost destroyed all of Klal Yisrael and so on.
So when Shmuel asks Shaul, Saul, why didn't you destroy all of Amalek? So he answered, he says, Ki yoresi min ha'am. I was afraid of the nation. The people didn't want to, and I was afraid of them. Then you're not the leader. The people were the leader. Yoresi min ha'am. The people have to follow the leader, not the leader follows the people. And because of this, he lost the leadership. So that's something also, what Moshe meant. Choose someone that will go out in front and come in front. He will always be in the forefront, and they will follow him. He will be the leader. And this is another problem we have today. See, we have today, but there are no leaders. The leaders are elected. So they're elected by the people. They're elected by the people, and they can be thrown out by the people. So before they make a move, they send out their pollsters to find out what do the people want. What's the popular opinion? If they feel that they should do this, but the people don't want it, well, then they can't do it. So it comes out the people are leading, they're not leading. There's a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Seita that states that near the end of days, when we see the deterioration of everything, which is our times, it says, Pnei ha'am ki pnei ha'kelef, that the leaders of the nations will resemble dogs. So everybody asks, what does it mean? The leaders of the nations will resemble dogs? So they say the interpretation, which is very good. If you ever watch a dog, he always runs ahead of his master. So it looks like he's running ahead and the master's following. But then when he gets too far ahead, he stops and he looks back to see which way his master's going. If the master's decided to change directions, then he comes that way. See? That those who are in front are really not in front. They're followers. So there's nobody in front. See? That's a problem that we have today. But that Moshe didn't want. Another, then Moshe said, "Vashe yetziem, vashe yivim." Someone who will go take them out and bring them in. So Rashi says, "Bischusam," with their merit. Now this is important. In Masechta Avos it states, "Moshe zocha v'ziko es harabim." Moshe was meritorious. In other words, he had great zchuyos. And he was able, therefore, to lead the nation. You want to be a great leader, first you have to be a great person. If you're a great person, then we can talk about being a great leader. If you're not a great person, we can't talk about being a great leader. So therefore, he said he wants someone who has schuyas, who is a great person himself, and then he can be a great leader. In the Parshas Meraglim and Parshas Shalach, it states there, Moshe sent the people to spy out Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Hayesh bam eitz, see if there's a tree." What does it mean? See if there's a tree. Rashi says, "See if there are individuals there with great zchuyos, who have great mitzvahs, sheyogin aleihem bischusay, that will protect them like a tree protects, that will give shade." And then they came back and they said, "Sort silom, their protection is not there anymore." Rashi says, "Meisay Iyov, shehoya megin aleihem." They had a great tzaddik there. That was Iyov, Job, and he's died. He died. We don't have to worry now. So the person, if he's going to be a great leader, he's got to be a great individual. So this Rashi asked. Then further Rashi, this Moshe asked. Then further Moshe asked, and he said, "Elokei aruchais lechol bosor." He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of each and every spirit of every person. What does that mean? So Rashi says on this, just looking for it. Golav yudu lefanecho, daiti shul kol echad ve'echad. You know, Moshe said to Hashem, you know that every individual is different. They're no two people alike. Make a leader that will be a leader for each one. Lefi daita, in accordance to his own particular perspective, his own particular needs. What Rashi here is asking, he's asking almost the impossible. See, the problem that a leader has is one person wants it warm and one person wants it cold. See, one person says it's too cold in the shul and the other one says it's too hot in the shul. And the other one says it's just right. So what does he do? Right. One person says that the fees are not too high and the other one says the fees are too low, not paying enough. The other one says the fees are just right. So Moshe said to Hashem, Elokei Aruchais Lechol Bosor, the God of every spirit of each person, you know that every spirit is different. There are no two people alike. You have to appoint someone who's a miracle person, see, who can be a leader for everyone. Because you always have people who say, you appoint a president and the Democrats say we like him, and the Republicans say we don't like him. You appoint another president, Republicans like him, Democrats don't like him. One labor likes, and management doesn't like, and the other one vice versa. And it goes on and on. So what's the answer? The answer is you need a miracle person that can satisfy everyone. So that's what Moshe asked for Hashem. He says, you know, Elokei Aruchais Lechol Bosor, that there are no two people alike. And the leader is going to have to satisfy everyone. Appoint someone that can satisfy everyone. See? She said, that will be able to carry everyone, cater to each and everyone, according to that own, his own particular needs or idiosyncrasies or whatever it might be. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Because it states, take Yeshua, Asher Ish Ruach Boy. A person of spirit, of all spirits. He can encompass everyone. So this means, what does this mean? Now, look, today we don't have such international leaders. This was Moshe, this was Yeshua. We're talking world class. See, but what does this mean, at least in a micro system? It means that the leader has to be a broad person. He has to be a broad person where all, or at least many, can identify with him. If he's too much, see, Rashi says, "Yisha sheruach bei kasher shalto," like you asked, "Shiyuchu lahalek k'neged ruchei shel kol echad ve'echad." He can cater for each one individually. If he's not a broad person, but his spectrum is very narrow, he's going to be very successful with a certain element, but the rest he will fail with. If he's to the right, he won't succeed with the left. If he's to the left, he won't succeed with to the right. And so on and so on. So he's got to be a broad person where he can encompass and identify with as many of the people as possible. And he's got to be, this we see even more important, he's got to be a leader for all of the people. I remember in St. Louis, where we were before we came to South Africa, there was a very great Rav there. And he was the Rav of the whole city. His name was Nachum Zvi Eichenstein Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the Rav for the whole city. And he used to work on catering for every element of the community, every element of the city that he was Rav over. And I remember that there was a right-wing element that was not happy with that. They felt that he should concentrate and put more of his energies and efforts into catering to their needs exclusively, and forget about the others. What's left over of his energies will go for the others. See. And I remember in the discussion that I had with my Rebbe Rav Gifter, he made this statement. He says, they cannot understand, they don't seem to understand that a Rav has to be a Rav for the whole community. His position was to be a Rav for the community. That means he has to cater for everyone. And this is what we're speaking about here. Meisher said, I don't want someone that is going to cater for a specific fringe element. He says, I want someone that can be Heile Keneger Ruach Shokol Odom Ve'odom. That everyone can say, this is our king. So, Kach Lechoesh Yeshua Benun, Isha Sheruach Boy. Take Yeshua. And from here we learn what our sages say, Shidaitoi Shal Odom Mu'urevis Ben Habriyos. That when a person communicates with others, when a person works with others, he has to do his utmost to be able to work at the level of each and every person. And now one final point. Moshe put down his menu of what he wanted. He gave Hashem his agenda. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, all right, I have just a man for you. See? Your Talmud, Yeshua. He has everything that you've asked for. The Midrash tells us that Moshe really had in mind another person. He had in mind another candidate. And who did he have? His own son. Now, if he had in mind his own son, then his own son must have had these qualities. Because here Moshe is not a fool, he's going to say, this is the type of leader we must have. And meanwhile, he's thinking of his own son, and his own son doesn't have these qualities. So his own son must have had these qualities. So if that's the case, we can ask the question, so why didn't Hashem... why did Hashem reject Moshe's candidate? Actually, the deen is, the law is that if you have someone in a public position and he has a son and the son is qualified and then there's another one that's qualified, the son gets it first. Inherits it. If the son is not qualified, then you have to go to others. Which is a good question. So the Midrash tells us the answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he says, look, it's true. Gershom, you have your sons. But, he says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. He says, Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meitze Te'ena Yechal Pirjo. Quoted a pasuk from Mishlei from King Solomon. Notes it to Eina, the one who guards and who scrupulously takes care of the fig tree. He is the one who will eat the fruits. Bonecho Yoshu Lehem. Will I ask about that? Your sons, they're great people. But they did not serve you. Yeshua Harbe Sheroscho, he served you enormously. Harbe Cholek Lachol Kovod, he gave you honor all of the time. Hu Hayom Mashkim Umariv Bebeis Avad Shilcho, he was the first one that came into your Beis HaMedrash in the morning and he was the last one to leave at night. Hu Hayom Mesadeh Esesap Solim, when he would come in the morning, he'd open up all the windows and open up the blood, the curtains, and he would straighten out the benches and the chairs and he would make everything nice. at night he would close up. He'd wait till everybody left and he would close up. Since he is the one who has served you with all of his might, then he will be the one who will serve Yisrael, that he should not lose his reward. Take your Talmud, Yeshua, to fulfill Neitzatena Yechalpiria. That the one who guarded, always guarded the tree, he will eat from its fruits. Now, we have a question here. See, these are not the qualities Moshe asked for. If you have someone that sweeps up in the base of Medrash, so from there, that's the qualities to become the king of Israel. Comes in and opens the windows and closes the blinds. That's a great mitzvah. But these are the qualities of leadership. But the answer is follows. All of these qualities that Moshe asked for, Yeshua had. And these qualities Gershom, his son, had also. But this was the difference. The difference was is that his sons were not as dedicated to him. They were not as dedicated to him and not as dedicated to his work and to his teachings. So therefore, they were not such a Talmud or Mishores, one who served Moshe, like Yeshua. Yeshua was totally dedicated to Moshe. Totally dedicated to his Beis HaMedrash. Wasn't he was dedicated to a Beis HaMedrash? It says Beis Vad Lechor, he was dedicated to Moshe's Beis HaMedrash. He was totally dedicated to Moshe's work. He followed Moshe around wherever he went. It's interesting to note that it states that when Moshe went up to the mountain to receive the Torah, and then they started with the Egel Azov, the golden calf, it says Moshe came down and he asked Yeshua, what's all the noise in the camp? What does it mean he asked Yeshua? Well, where was Yeshua? And he came down 40 days later. The answer is, it states that they were all allowed to go to a certain point on the mountain, and then that's where they received the Ten Commandments. Then Moshe returned and stayed there 40 days. Everybody else, Shuva Lachem Aleichem, everybody returned to their homes. Yeshua then returned to his home. He pitched a tent and he remained at the foot of the mountain for 40 days waiting for Moshe to come back, waiting for his master to come back. And when Moshe came down, the first one he met was Yeshua. And they were outside of the camp. So he asked him, what's going on in the camp? What's all the noise? And that's what it states on Yeshua, Yeshua na'ar layomish miteicha eichel. Yeshua, as a lad, never moved from Moshe's side. He never moved from the tent. Others came and they went. Others came and they went. Yeshua never left. He was totally attached and dedicated to Moshe. Harbe Sherosko. Harbe Kovin Nosamacho. He's the one who served you totally. He gave you honor totally. He gave you Beis HaMedrash total honor. In this way, he says, he excels far above your son. And therefore he shall be Zeicha to serve Klal Yisrael. Now the question is, alright, so we've sorted out now what the discussion was, what Moshe had in mind and what Hashem told him. But now the question is, why was it because of this Yeshua was chosen? The answer is, Yeshua's main, his main duty would be to teach the Torah to the people and to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. He was going to be the first one to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael that didn't receive it from Hashem. Nobody ever taught Torah to Klal Yisrael that didn't receive it from Hashem. except Yeshua. We have to always make sure that the Torah that we're learning is real Torah. It's not falsified. It's not counterfeit. It's not synthetic. How do we know it's real Torah? See? It has to have an identification on it. It has to have a label on it. You know, when you buy something, you look at the brand name. And the brand name tells you if it's quality or not. And unfortunately, today we have the world is full of falsifications, full of counterfeits. So when we learn Torah, how do we know it's real Torah? Right? Real Torah is called Toras Moshe. That's the only real Torah, because all of the Torah came into the world only through Moshe. There was no Torah that came into the world not through Moshe. And that's what it states, Zichrei Toras Moshe Abdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Now, Toras Moshe is genuine because he was an Eved to Hashem. He was totally dedicated to Hashem, and Hashem gave him all of his Torah. So that's genuine. When we learn, if it's Toras Moshe, we're learning Torah. If it's not Toras Moshe, it's a falsification. It's a counterfeit. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned with. I need someone to pass on that Torah, Moshe's Torah, to the people. And who can do this? Only someone who is totally dedicated to Moshe. He says, your sons were not totally dedicated to you. Partially, not totally. So there could be a lot of things that they could teach the people that is not even coming from you. But Yeshua, he, whatever he is going to give over to the nation, you can guarantee it's from you. It will be Toras Moshe. And that is the definition of a true Talmud, of a true disciple. And the Gemara says that Shimusha Gdela Milimuda, when it comes to a true disciple, the dedication of the disciple to the master is even greater than the learning from the master. And that was Moshe. And this is what the Vilna Gaon says. After Moshe dies, so we have the Sefer Yeshua. And in the first pasuk, very first pasuk in the Sefer Yeshua, it says as follows. Vayhi acharei meis Moshe. It was after the death of Moshe. Eved Hashem, who was the servant of Hashem. Now here we describe, we give a definition to Moshe. Define to me what Moshe was. Eved Hashem. He could be said on him, he was the servant of Hashem. Vayem Hashem al Yeshua bin Nun. So now Hashem spoke to Yeshua, the son of Nun, Mishores Moshe, who served Moshe. Lemor, same. And then it goes on, Moshe, my servant Moshe Avdi, died, and now you stand up, and you are the leader. So the Vilna Gaon says, why? It states here, Yeshua took over. Why did Yeshua take over? Because he was the Meshores Moshe. He was the one that was totally dedicated to Moshe. Then he says, so why doesn't it say Talmidei Shel Moshe, the disciple of Moshe? Because Shimusha Gdela Milimuda. Because you become a disciple through learning, but then there's an additional dimension on top of the learning, and that's a dedication, see, to the master. So here it's this saying that Moshe was Moshe because he was totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all of his Torah. And Yeshua was Yeshua because he was Meshores Moshe. He was totally dedicated to Moshe. So he inherited that Torah. And now he was able to give it over. And this we need in every generation. It states that the Medrash says, Tnu Haitcha, Hashem said, give him from your glory. Now, Moshe's face used to be a light. When he came down from Har Sinai, beams of light came out of his face. So Moshe gave some of that light to Yeshua. So the Midrash says that Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chamo, u'pnei Yeshua k'pnei Levono. The face of Moshe was like the face of the sun, and the face of Yeshua was like the face of the moon. So my Rebbe Rav Gichter said on that, he says, this is what we're speaking about. The moon does not create its own light. Rather, it regenerates the light that it receives from the sun. But all of the moon's lights, it can magnify it, it can regenerate it, but its source is the sun. The source of Yeshua's Torah was Moshe. The source of Moshe's Torah, that was Hashem. And that is, we need that as a guarantee. I remember once being at a banquet. This was a banquet for, I believe it was Torah Mesorah, one of that's an institution that creates Torah day schools in America. And the guest speaker was the late Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he said, he actually was a person who was very, very emphasized all the time truth. In fact, is when he died and he wrote a sefer, he left over a sefer, it's called Emes LeYaakov. He says, today in America, this goes back many years ago, today in America we're seeing the growth of Torah all over. But he says, whether it's Torah's Emes, I don't know. Whether all of it is Torah's Emes, true Torah, he says, that's a different question. Not all Torah. Just like not every watch, see, might be a first class watch or a very, very good watch. There could be 100 different types of watches, and there could be 100 different types of designers. The same thing. Not all Torah is necessarily Torah's Moshe. So this is the guarantee we need. That when we learn Torah, we want it to be real Torah. And it has to be Torah from Moshe. And that's why you have to learn Torah from a Rebbe, who learned it from his Rebbe. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, look, your sons, they can be very great, but they were not totally dedicated and committed in Torah to you, like Yeshua. Therefore, kach lecha Yeshua, take Yeshua bin Nun, v'samachta eshyotcha olav. Place your hands on him, give him from your wisdom, give him from your glory, and he will carry on to pass this Torah on to the other generations. These are a number of very, very important principles that we learn from this parsha of the appointment of Yeshua ben Nun.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.